We spiritually have red all over us. Thank God. And we need to, by faith, believe in that sprinkling that has been done on us. Now then, there are a couple of things in the news, if I can remember them. I wasn't planning on speaking about that. Thank you, Paul, for that marvelous. Thank you, Virginia. Thank you, Pat, for that marvelous play. Thank you so very much. A couple of things in the news that we need to think about. Let's see, what's happening in Baghdad and everything. And some of y'all are wondering, is this a prelude to what's getting ready to happen? Well, we've been dealing with Iran very harshly. I mean, at one time we were dealing with them very tenderly, our nation was. And we decided that they were not willing to be brought into line to be to stop doing terrorism. And now then we're dealing with them very harshly, and they're reacting against us, trying to draw the world's attention about how we're acting. And that's what's going on in Baghdad. That's because we dealt with Iran in western Iraq, and we dealt with them in eastern Syria. Here, just in the last 4 or 5 days, we've done that. So that is something that you all want to be aware of. There was a second thing I was wanting to make you aware of that it has to do with prophecy before we get into the message this evening, and it is gone from me at this point. As we are gathered here this evening, several of us are needing to have healing. Is there anybody that would like to say you need it? Okay, amen. We have here Max, who's saying he needs it. We have Matt, who's taking a new medication. He has fallen a lot recently, and it may have been going on for some time now, but this medication has made it much worse. If he tells you that he's jerking, he really is literally jerking. This medication is really causing him to jerk a lot, and so we need to remember him in prayer. And then, of course, Paul is not feeling well, and Jim is going to have more done, and I'm looking around at others here this evening. Is there anybody else that wants to say, I need healing also? Okay. Everybody throw your hand up in the air, because maybe you didn't know you were supposed to say that you need healing, because you need it today or tomorrow or maybe you don't know. It's kind of, you can put your hand down now. But it's kind of like whenever here recently you realized that I had this infection in my jawbone. I didn't even know that was going on. Had no idea until a good portion of my jawbone was no longer there. We need healing all the time. Amen? You were wounded for my transgressions. You were bruised for my iniquities. Surely you've borne my sorrows, and by your stripes I am healed. Sing it with me one more time. You were wounded for my transgressions. You were bruised for my iniquities. Surely you've borne my sorrows, and by your stripes I am healed. Now I want you to know something. When you claim healing, it doesn't just come for you. We need to understand, everybody that belongs to us, we're claiming that for everybody. And so if you think, well, it won't ever affect anybody, yes, it will. And you need to claim it whether you're currently in a place where you need it or not, because you're going to be touching somebody who is desperate for that. All right, tonight's message is going to be about walking with Jesus. Walking with Jesus. We're going to be looking in chapter 10 of John and chapter 11 of John. And the thing of it is that when you're walking with Jesus, you want to be aware of the fact, what's that like for you? Generally, when we look into the Scriptures, we're only interested in the things that Jesus is doing, but we're wanting to look at these Scriptures tonight, and we're wanting to see, what's everybody else doing? And then as we're watching what they're doing and how they're living their lives, they're getting to actually walk with Him. Now then, I don't know about you, but if that's different from the way we do. We walk by faith, do we not? So we're walking with Jesus, and we want the benefits of walking with Jesus. We want to be concentrated on the fact that no matter what has happened in my life, I still have the opportunity to walk with Jesus. And He has a way of being able to bring me through everything I've had to walk in. Okay? So we want to be aware of that. I remember what the other thing was that I wanted to talk about, but there's no need to talk about it tonight. I'll talk about it on Monday. So we're in John the 10th chapter. In John the 10th chapter, the Jews have decided, not all of them, a great number of Jews are believing already. Already believing in Him. But there's a great number that are waiting for their people who are smarter than them to tell them what they should believe. You know, do you realize how close America has become to being a place like that? Waiting for the people who are smarter than us to tell us how we should live and how we should do everything. We should always believe that I am directly involved in everything that goes on in America. Here I am starting 11 months in advance, telling you all you need to believe in the God who's given us this type of government and prepare to go and vote for God to do amazing things in America. You can say, well, maybe I'm making a mistake. If you're trusting God, you are not making a mistake. And you must go. And I'm not going to be up here telling you, what are you doing? There are a lot of denominations that have got those talking points, and they're telling you what those talking points are. They're wanting to tell you, this is the way you must do everything. I'm telling you, you must walk with Jesus. And it's not a difficult thing to do. It's difficult only if you will not go. That's why we sing, wherever He leads, I'll go. All right. So in John the 10th chapter, Jesus in the 9th chapter, we're not going back to the 9th chapter. In the 9th chapter has just healed a man that was born blind. And the Jews have decided that they are not the ones who are in power, the ones who are smart, have decided that they are not going to give themselves to Him. And so there's a great strife that is beginning. It's getting very close to the time that Jesus is going to go to the cross. And there's a great strife that is beginning. So when we look at great strife, we need to know it's any time that our nation is in great strife right now. Would you all believe that? This is a moment of great opportunity. It's kind of like, what does carpe diem mean? It means seize the day. And it's time for us to seize Jesus. And to hang on to Him, because this is the day that the Lord hath made. So anyway, there's a great strife that's going on, and some people are saying they're calling Him a devil, that he does these things by the power of the devil, and others are saying, well, why would the devil want to do anything as wonderful as this? Give a man back his sight, and so now we're going to start in John the 10th chapter, verse 19. Sheila's been waiting patiently to get us there. And there was division, therefore, again, among the Jews for the sayings. And Jesus has just spoken some things about Him being the shepherd and about keeping His own. And many of them said, He has a devil and is mad. Why are you listening to Him? And others said, these are not the words of Him that has a devil. And can a devil open the eyes of the blind? And it was at Jerusalem, the Feast of Dedication. You all know what the Feast of Dedication is, because we've just finished it. Hanukkah, the Feast of Dedication, just finished last Sunday, or maybe it was on Monday, but just here in the last couple of days, it has finished. It was at Jerusalem, the Feast of Dedication. It was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about Him and said unto Him, how long do you make us it's important because we're saying walking with Jesus. And in verse 23 it says, and Jesus walked. So you see, I am keeping at least that part of the message straight this evening. Y'all do realize sometimes I have a hard time being able to keep things straight. And Jesus walked, and there were those that were there and they were refusing to walk with Him, and there were others there that they were saying, no, can a devil open the eyes of the blind? They were believing in Him. Verse 24, then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, how long do you make us to doubt? If you are the Messiah, if you are the Son of David, tell us plainly. And Jesus answered and said, I have told you and you believe not. Now then, there are several ways you can tell somebody. One way is to get up and shout and scream at them. Another way is to be able to sit down and kind of to delicately carry on a conversation with them. Another is just to show them. And brothers and sisters, we've got a lot of things left yet to show to those that are around about us. Jesus rides in our vessel. And through the cracks of our lives, the light of His glory shines out every once in a while. And so whenever you're seeing the cracks of who you are, the cracks and the brokenness of somebody else, you need to be saying, Jesus, use this moment and shine out of this moment. He said, I have told you, but you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. Verse 26, but you believe not because you are not of my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice. And I wanted to do that song tonight, but I decided we'd save it for another time. And I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them, and I want to ask you something, have you been given to Jesus by God? See, people were beginning to realize that it was God at work. It was God that was doing all of these things. And Jesus was the manifestation of God reaching out to them. And my Father which gave them is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. You know, you're going to meet some people who don't know whether they're really saved or not, because they're going to be worried about what they've done. And you need to say something. You need to say to them, have you put yourself in the hands of Jesus? Do you believe that God gave you to Jesus? I and my Father are one. Verse 31, then the Jews took up stones to stone him. Now then they've gone from rejecting him to wanting to run him off. And again, I'm thinking about, now we're looking at the people that are round about him. Up to this point, they've been arguing with him. They've been denying him. Some of them are beginning to believe. A great number are beginning to believe. And the Jews took up stones again to stone him. And Jesus answered them, said, many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of these works are you going to stone me? And I want you to know something. God still has good works to do. We need to believe in the good works that need to be done. And the Jews answered him, saying, for a good work we stone you not. We know we've seen the good works. We're not denying you because of the good works. We're denying you because we don't want you. Is there anybody here tonight that's kind of upset with God and you don't want him? That's common for a believer to get that way. We have a tendency to get that way, from get twisted from time to time. You need to turn to Jesus tonight and say, Lord, I need you. I give myself to you. And they said, we're going to stone you because you, being a man, make yourself equal with God. And Jesus answered and said, is it not written in your law that you are gods? And this is from Psalms 82. And God is saying to them, you are unique triune beings, and he called them gods, unto whom the word of the God came, and the scripture cannot be broken. And you say of him whom the Father has sanctified, this would be Jesus himself, and sent into the world, thou blasphemest, because I said I am the Son of God. If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. We were created for the works of God. I'll say that again. We were created for the works of God. When we get up in the morning, we need to say, oh Lord, what are you getting ready to work today in me and those around me? Believe the works that you may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. Therefore, they sought again to take him, but he escaped out of their hand and went away again beyond Jordan to the place where John at first baptized. We have a mission that for many years we have had in Tyabe, on what we have called the West Bank, but which the Jews are calling Samaria today, because basically Trump has said that he believes that all of that land that's in that area that's not being used by anybody else, that the Jews can build settlements that they want to there. And that in Tybee, it was once called Ephraim. And before that, it was called Ophrah. And they believe, I'm not sure whether I believe or not, but they believe that that city is where Jesus went to rest whenever he was being harassed and the Jews were wanting to kill him. So it's very important that you see what is going on here. There is a place that received him. Would you bow with me in prayer tonight? Father, we're here to receive everything about Jesus. That's what people everywhere should be doing. Receiving everything about Jesus. So help us tonight. Help us to have the desire and the outreaching to receive. In Jesus' name, amen. And verse 40, and they went again beyond Jordan to the place where John at first baptized, and there he abode. And many resorted unto him. Believers even went with him. His 12 went. There were other people that went with him out there. Some of those people that were in Jerusalem that had heard him speak went with him up into the mountainsides there and resorted with him. And John and many resorted unto him and said, John did no miracle, but all the things that John spake of this man have come true. And many believed on him there. So we see that in that place, they not only received him, they believed on him. Now we're trying to see what is happening walking with Jesus, what happens with the people around him who have the chance to walk with him. Because in this year to come, we're going to have a chance to walk with Jesus. I'd love to tell you that all sheep always stick with the shepherd. But Jesus told us about the story of the 100. There was 99 that stuck with him and one that wouldn't. And the shepherd had to go back and find that one and bring it rejoicing. So if you're one that doesn't stick with him and you know you don't stick with him, then you need to know that Jesus is going to find you and he's going to find a way to rejoice over you. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee will rejoice over you and will joy with singing and with dancing. I'm so very thankful that my God knows how to carry me. And so many believed on him. Now we're getting into chapter 11 because we're wanting to see what is happening with those people that are walking with Jesus. And a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany of the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It is that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair. There are two women that did this. One was a prostitute, the other was Mary. You need to know there's a difference. That anointed the feet of Jesus with her hair and whose brother Lazarus was sick. Now you know the story, so you don't really have to keep up with it too very much, but I ask you to try to keep up with it because we're looking at the people involved in the story. What is happening with the people involved in the story? Therefore his sisters sent unto him Jesus. Now then, are they sending for themselves or are they sending for their brother? Is you have anybody, and I know you do, I've heard some of you talk about it tonight, that you need to be sending unto Jesus for them. Yeah. Everybody here has got somebody that they need to be sending unto Jesus for that person. Send unto Jesus. And the Lord, and saying, Lord, behold, he who you love is sick. He who you're fond of. Now I want you to know that Jesus is more than just fond of you. It's wonderful to be around people that are fond of you. Maybe during the holidays you got some. Maybe you got the other side of the coin. You need to walk with Jesus because he's more than just fond of you. And when Jesus heard that, he said, now then, there are some that are walking with him that are getting to hear him talk. I'm looking around and I'm thinking there's a lot of people that aren't here tonight that aren't really getting to hear him talk because I'm not about me talking. I'm about you being able to hear Jesus. And he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God. We know that the 12 were with him. And we know that there was many other people that were with him. This sickness is not to the death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified thereby. Oh, anybody here sick tonight who wants to walk with Jesus? And this year you're going to find some times whenever you're weak. Something has attacked you. Not someone, something has attacked you. And you need to know in that, you need to pray to God. You need to say, Lord, let this be that you might be glorified by this. That's the best way to be able to handle anything. And then say, but you have promised that you would send your word and you would heal them, and that you promised that by his stripes we have been healed. So I don't have anything to worry about. May this, what is happening to me, be for your glory. Amen? All right. That covers everything. I tell you, I did something over the holidays. I don't know what it was that I did, but right now, while I'm in the pulpit, it's amazing what I can do while I'm up here. Last night, came a time when we were having the New Year's Eve celebration. I was hurting so bad. I said, I can't stand up anymore, you all. And I want you to know that there, and I don't want for y'all to be concerned about me, because I'm going to be just fine. Because I know who I belong to. And so, but I'm having some difficulty. I may not look like it, and one of these days I may look like it, and that's all right. Because that's all in His hands. I'm going to say, not my will be done, thy will be done, because I know I am totally going to be walking in full healing someday soon. And even if it's just a partial healing, I want to walk in the partial healing that I can get right now. Okay. And so now Jesus loved. And back they sent to him and said, the one that you love is sick. Back in verse 3, it says, behold, he whom you love, that you're fond of. Now then in verse 5, it says, Jesus loved Martha, her sister Mary, and Lazarus. And it's not the same word. It means Jesus was willing to sacrifice for them. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Jesus was willing to sacrifice for them. He wasn't just fond of them. And when he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode still in that place where he was. And after that, he said to his disciples, let us go unto Judea. And his disciples said unto him, Master, we just came down from there. We're hiding out here because they're trying to kill you. Okay, are you afraid of your circumstances? Because then when you're walking with Jesus, you're going to have some circumstances which are not going to be real pleasing to you. And they're saying, Master, what are you doing? Why are you going back? They're trying to kill you. And Jesus answered and said, are there not 12 hours in a day? Well, right now there's not. I think right now there's about maybe 10 or a little less. There's 14 hours of dark. And I'll be glad when we get back to light again. And then we got people that aren't able to come on Wednesday nights or Sunday nights. We need to be looking around and saying, how can we get Brother Phil to go pick them up? Because I will, if I can find a way to get them here. Are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbles not, because he sees the light of this world. But if a man walks in the night, he stumbles. So is it, now that I know it's dark outside, but if you're walking with Jesus, you're always going to have enough light. But if you're not going to walk with Jesus, you're going to find you're stumbling. You may be one of those little, that one of the 100. Whenever the 99, he got safe in the fold, and then in the dark, he had to go back looking for the one so that he could bring that one home. I'm going to tell you, as long as you belong to Jesus, there'll be enough light. But if you'll walk with him, you won't ever have to worry about what's happening to you. And so he's telling them to walk with him. These things said he, and after that he said to them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awaken him out of the sleep. And his disciples said, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. And in the future, I'm going to be preaching on a message on about how that Jesus, once he died on the cross, that he conquered death. And we find very few references to death except for those that don't believe. I mean, it generally talks about them falling asleep. I'm excited about this message because I'm going to read y'all something that I hope just caused your socks to fly off your feet and y'all have to go home barefoot. Okay. And he said, Lord, if he sleeps, he's going to do well. And Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking rest and sleep. And Jesus said, Lazarus has died. And I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go to him. And now Thomas, which is called Didymus. Now Thomas is the one who said, I will not believe unless I can put my hand in the nail scars And unless I can put my fist into his side, because it was a big gash that was put in him. And he said, let us go also, that we may die with him. Now, that I'm telling you what, wherever Jesus is going, it's a pathway of life. Too many of us are living in death. And I'm telling you, that little sheep, whenever it's lost in the dark, it feels like it's dying. And too many of us are willing to be in a place where we're feeling like we're dying. Remember, walking with Jesus is about what's happening with those that are around him. And it's amazing. These men in a few months are going to be transformed into being firebrands. And they were walking with him. They saw him every day. We get to hear him. That's all. And I'm seeing out of you women and men who are becoming firebrands for Jesus. And then when Jesus came, he found that they had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now, Bethany was nigh to Jerusalem. It's about a Sabbath day journey off. And many of the Jews came to Mary and Martha to comfort them concerning their brother. Now then, funerals are a big thing in the Middle East. People really want to come so that they can make noise and weep with you. Because they know that, they just know that they're comforting you. You know, very few people really know how to comfort somebody. The best thing you can probably say to somebody whenever you're with them, and I do require your prayers tomorrow, because I'll be doing James Brooks' funeral tomorrow at 2 o'clock. And this is Helen Brooks' grandson, or her son, and we had her sister's funeral the last Saturday when that great gully washer came here in Shawnee. And I mean to tell you, there wasn't one of us. And it was cold and wet, and the wind was blowing hard, and it just kept on raining. And we were all a spirit of joy fell upon that place. Everyone. Helen was just a grinning and laughing. It was marvelous. Okay, so anyway, we see here that, and when Jesus came, he found that he'd been dead. Now then, Mary, Martha, many of the Jews came to comfort them. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, if you'd just been here, Lord, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now. When's the last time you told God, I know even now? Because she's walking with him. Now she's having a hard time, but she's walking with him. I know even now. You need to practice words. Words that come out of the Bible like this, you need to practice them. You need to say, Lord, I know that even now, that whatever you ask of God, God will give it to you. And Jesus said, your brother shall rise again. Well, you know, the Jews, some of them believed in the resurrection. Some of them didn't. It's a marvelous thing to believe there's going to be a resurrection, just like it's a marvelous thing to believe there's going to be a rapture. But it's better to be walking with Jesus and to say, I know that even now. And Jesus said unto her, she said, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. And Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet he shall live. And I want to ask you something. Where was he? Have you ever thought about that place where he was? Because his body's been dead for 4 days. You've heard these people that talk about how that your body hangs on to your spirit or your soul? Where was he? Because I got something I want to share with you in a few minutes. I want you to remember that one. And whosoever dies and believes in me shall never die. You believe this? And she said, yea, Lord, I believe that you are the Messiah. I believe that you're the Son of David, the Son of God, which had come into the world. And when she had so said, she went her way. Now he's resting. What he's been doing is been walking a long ways, and he's resting. And then she goes and calls Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, the Master has come and calls for you. And as soon as Mary heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was at that place where Martha met him. And the Jews, which were come with her in the house, now they were come there to weep and cry with her, trying to comfort her. Best thing you can do is pray for a person. Say, I'm going to be praying for you. I love you. I'm going to be praying for you. That's the best thing you can do for somebody. Now then, some of people want you to sit with them, but unless they ask you to sit down and stay with them, and if they do ask you to sit down and stay with them, don't you stay over 20 minutes. get up and like you're going to go. And if they say, please don't go, then sit down and stay for another 20. You know, stay just long enough. They'll let you go whenever they're ready for you to be gone. And the best thing is for you to say, is to get up and get ready to go. And they were in the house and they saw that Mary rose up hastily and went out. Hey, she wanted to walk with Jesus. Do you see that? She went out. Where is she going? She's going to Jesus. And they followed her saying, she's going to the grave to weep, to go there to weep. No, she's going to see Jesus. When you all came in here this evening, I don't know if any of y'all drove faster than the speed limit, but I imagine you came here desiring to come here. This isn't just a place that you come because it's your habit. If it's only your habit, you're not getting very much. You're just warming a pew. And so it says here that they went out with her, and when Mary was come to Jesus was, she saw him and she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if you'd just been here, my brother would not have died. Well, that was true. But remember, he said, this is for the glory of God. I know there are a lot of things that we wish had never happened, but we need to, whatever there is that we wish had never happened, we want to say, Jesus, make it for your glory. And when Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews also weeping which came with her, he groaned in the spirit. Why was he groaning? Because of their lack of belief. That's the only reason why Jesus would be groaning. He knew what he was going to do. He was excited about what he was going to do. He knew why he was there. And yet whenever he's groaning in his spirit, it's because of their lack of unbelief. Remember whenever he went to Nazareth, one of the times he was in Nazareth, it says he could do no mighty works there because of their unbelief. I imagine Jesus was groaning even in his own hometown and was troubled. And he said to them, where have you laid him? And they said unto him, Lord, come and see. And Jesus wept. And you can say, well, and they're going to say here, behold how he loved him. The next verse, behold how he loved him. Well, no, he's weeping because of the unbelief. Because he knows that he's not going to this. Oh, he's dead. Oh, my goodness. I should have come sooner. No, he's there. He knows what's getting ready to happen. You need to see what it's like to walk with Jesus in all of this. And he wept. And in verse 37, it said, and some of them said, could not this man which opened the eyes... See, they're still stuck on the blind man having his eyes opened. Could not this man that opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died? Jesus, therefore, groaning in himself. What's he groaning for? It's not because he's saying, well, I want to... What can I do? He's there. He's going to call him out of the grave. He's groaning because of their unbelief. And himself comes to the grave. It was a cave and a stone laid upon it. Now then, I have been in Bethany, and there when they bury, they dig down into the stony ground, and the caves are they find a cave, and the caves go down into the ground, and it's not on the side of a mountain, it's going down into the ground. And I've been to the place where there were a lot of these types of tombs, where these natural formations where you could go down into the ground. And if you want to know more about that, you can ask me later. And it was a cave, and he said, take away the stone. And Martha, his sister of him that was dead, said unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh. Oh. Have you been around anybody that stinks lately? Now then, there's a fellow that comes to the men's prayer breakfast. Isn't that right, LD? You love him from a distance. And there's a lot of people that you want to love, but I'm going to tell you that some of the things that they do are just stinky. Oh, why did they do that? Or maybe it's because they don't bathe like this fellow does. And you need to look at them and you need to see, I wonder what Jesus would do in this situation. How would he handle this particular situation? He stinketh, for he's been dead for 4 days. And Jesus saith unto her, said not I unto you that if you believe that you should see the glory of God? Remember, he said, this is all about the glory of God. Everything that I happen to me, I want to wake up in the morning, if I'm in one of those places where I'm saying, what is going on? I want to say, I believe it's for your glory, God. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was, and they went, oh, that's the worst smell I've ever smelled in my life. And they took away the stone. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and he said, Father, I thank you. Now then, he's been groaning before, but now he's thanking God. And whenever he was there on the night, whenever he was taking the bread and the fruit of the vine out, he thanked God. And they're probably looking at him and they're thinking, you know, there must be something wrong with him. He must be a manic depressive because look at him. One way he's so sad, he's weeping, and the next second he's thanking God. Well, it was the unbelief that he wept about. It was not what God was getting ready to do. And we need to be, as we're walking with Jesus, we need to be thanking God. And he said, Father, I thank you that you've heard me, and I knew that you always hear me, but because of the people which stand by, I said it that they may believe that you have sent me. Remember, just a little while ago, they're saying he has a devil. And they said, nobody can, the devil can't cause a blind man to see. And there's a lot of unbelieving people in that place that is causing him to groan. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth! Jesus is going to come in the clouds when the church is called out with a loud voice, with a shout, with a trumpet. He's going to come. And he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forward. And he that was dead came forth bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound with a napkin. And Jesus said unto them, do you know what that napkin was? Because Jesus left his napkin behind too. It was his prayer shawl. There were grave clothes to put on the rest of the body, but what they put around the head would be the man's prayer shawl. And his head was bound about with a napkin. Then many of the and Jesus said, loose him and let him go. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed. Think of the things that Mary had to go through walking with Jesus, so that others might believe. Did you notice how we've kind of taken, shifted it, not entirely away from Jesus, but looking at how the other people around about. Did you find yourself in there anywhere tonight? Did you see that maybe that could be that you that's in that particular place? Now this is a little bit longer than usual, and I apologize for that. It's the morning of September the 20th, 2006. Jeff Markin recalls heading for work as usual. What he doesn't remember is driving himself to the hospital. He had called his boss and told him that he just wasn't really feeling very well. God bless you, Matt. God bless you. His boss was concerned and convinced Jeff that he should go immediately to the emergency room. He didn't remember driving there, though. Somehow, Jeff made it. Once he got there, he collapsed. Dr. Crandall, I'll be glad to give you one of these if you want one of these this evening. Dr. Crandall, this is Christian Broadcasting Network. This is one of their stories. Dr. Crandall was doing rounds in the intensive care unit that morning. He recalls an alert came over the PA system that someone had arrived at the hospital with a massive deadly heart attack. Then a second call went out over the PA system specifically asking for me to come to the emergency room because I was the cardiologist on call that day. When I arrived there, it was like a war zone. There was chaos everywhere. People were there fighting with instruments and with trying to get things into his veins. We're fighting. It was chaos. Everyone was fighting to keep this man alive. The ER staff worked on Jeff for 40 minutes. They shocked him a dozen times. You know they don't usually shock people a dozen times, don't you? Despite their efforts, there was no response. Once Dr. Crandall had decided the team had done everything medically possible, he called the time of death. The reason I'm telling you this is because I'm wanting you to see who in this is walking with Jesus. Huh? I mean, we do want to walk with Jesus, don't we? He called the time of death. Medically, Jeff was dead, but he was still experiencing consciousness. Medically, he was dead, but he was still experiencing consciousness. I was standing, he later recalled, I was standing in the middle of a large place that seemed like a funeral home. At that time, I determined I had died. Jeff said. This place, this funeral home, was empty, and I was wondering, where are all my friends and family? While a nurse prepared Jeff's body for the morgue, Dr. Crandall updated all of the charts. As soon as my note was completed, I walked out through the door to this emergency room, and I heard a voice say, "Turn around. Go and pray for this man." I wanted to ignore that voice because I said to myself, how can I pray for that man? He's dead. He's gone. There's no life in him. So I'll keep on walking. The voice came back again and said, turn around and pray for that man. I stopped and I thought, I need to honor the Lord. Walking with Jesus. Amen? So I turned around at the doorway and I walked back to the side of that body. The nurse on the other side of the body was there, and she was looking at me like, what are you doing? Why are you still here? And I stood there next to that corpse, and I opened my mouth, and these words came out. Father God, I cry out to you for this man's soul. Walking with Jesus is going to be always about somebody else. It's not going to be about you. If it's got to be about you, you won't spend a whole lot of time walking with him. I cry out to you for this man's soul. If he does not know you as his Lord and Savior, Father, raise him from the dead now, in Jesus' name. Now, I don't want you to try this unless somebody's speaking it in your ear. Okay? Because if you're not hearing it being spoken in your ear, say, I remember Brother Phil talked about that, I've got to do it. No, no, no. You need to walk with Jesus. I remembered staring at the bright lights, and they were swirling, in Jesus' name. Jeff then says, and I remember staring at bright lights, and they were swirling around, and out of those bright lights came an image, and he told me that that he was there to look over me and make sure that everything was going to be fine. Dr. Crandall then tells his other part of the story. The other doctor walked in the room, and I pointed at him and said, shock this man one more time. He looked at me and said, Dr. Crandall, we can't shock him. He's dead. There's no life in him. He's gone. And I said, for me, shock him one more time. That doctor, out of respect and honor for me, went over to that body with those defibrillator paddles, put his paddles on that patient, and shocked him. Immediately, an instant heartbeat came back. Instant, perfect, regular, which we've never seen before. Then suddenly his abdomen started moving and started breathing. And then a couple of moments later, his fingers started twitching. Where was Lazarus? They immediately moved Jeff to the intensive care unit. 3 days later, Jeff woke up with no evidence of brain or organ damage. Once I woke up, Jeff says, my daughter Jillian was there, and that's when she told me what happened. Dr. Crandall says, when I came in Monday morning, 3 days later, Jeff was sitting up in bed, and I said, where were you that day that I prayed for you in the emergency room? And he said, I was in total darkness. I was so disappointed. And the doctor said, Jeff, what were you disappointed about? And he said, I knew I was going to be alone for eternity. Jeff recalls, he asked me at that time if I was willing to accept Jesus into my life and into my heart, and I did. I just opened my arms and accepted God. It was just a very emotional time, and I remember crying in his arms. Today, Jeff is back at work. He gets regular checkups. He still has no heart problems or residual complications from his brush with death, says his doctor. To know what I had gone through and to be fortunate, that's part of my daily battle of why me, Jeff ponders. Why have I been so fortunate to have God shine on me. There's one reason He wants you to walk with Jesus. Can you think of any other reason but to be able to walk with Jesus? It's been tremendous. I've been physically reborn. I've been spiritually reborn. I'm just very grateful for that. This day that I prayed for Jeff was a day of very little faith. Remember, he didn't want to. He's dead. I'm just going to go. No, go back and pray for that man. So he went through the motions. It was a very day of very little faith. It wasn't one of my big God days. I'm glad for big God days. Those are nice. But walking with Jesus is an everyday thing. Dr. Crandall says, I was in so much of a rush with my work, I didn't have a lot of faith backing up that prayer that day. But the Lord asked me to do it, and He's only going to ask you if you're used to walking with Him and hearing His voice. So I honored the Lord and prayed. And if you don't know what His Word says, you don't really know what His voice sounds like. You know what my voice sounds like, but you don't know what His voice sounds like. And I didn't have a lot of faith backing up the prayer that day, but the Lord asked me to do it, so I honored the Lord and prayed. That's all we need, just a spark of faith like mustard seed. And when you cry out to the mighty Holy Spirit, He will take over. Miracles are real, and they're still happening today. Christian Broadcasting Network underneath. So if you're wanting to look it up, you can get the names, or I'll let you have that paper. But I'm wanting to excite you about the year that's ahead. There's going to be impossible times in this year. We're already a place where we're saying, what in the world are we doing? If we keep going, everything's going to die. We'll die with Him. No, we'll live with Him. Okay, let's all stand, and we're going to sing Amazing Grace, because it's the easiest song to be able to sing. That way, if y'all want to, I'll let you go to the organ and the piano. Because I'm going to tell you, it'll take such grace and our willingness to walk in it in this year to come. I'm wanting to walk with Jesus.